Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast for round 3, 2024. We are coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who, for as long as I have known him, has always had the dodgiest hamstrings. It is Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. Oh, mate, I have had the worst luck everywhere. When I went to South America, Michael, my hamstrings were tight as awareness.
A number of years ago, the awareness he had for your hamstring. Now, I've known you probably for a good 20-odd years now, I reckon. 23 years.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, it always seems to happen on a Sunday morning.
You wake up,
you feel in your hammies every single time. You can barely get out of bed.
The time I went to Cancun, fuck, they tightened up. Yeah. When I was in Europe that time, ooh, they were really tight. Every time I'm walking out of Revolver, as I'm coming down those stairs, I'm like, oh, the hamstrings are getting tight here.
And you
know what's going on.
It even seems to be worse. Like, every now and then, like, you'll be in the toilet cubicle at a nightclub and both hammies will tighten up immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's tough, and I need to, like, the only way I can do it is by going into the disabled toilets because there's more room for me, Michael.
Yep.
If I go into a normal cubicle, it's just not enough space to stretch out, and that's why I need the disabled cubicle.
Do you remember that time at the Logie Awards and, like, you couldn't walk for that?
So this has been the greatest revelation in the history of the AFL.
Yeah. People were banding around the world, darkest day in Australian sport, Adam. We had that about a bit over 10 years ago, and now people have thrown it around again. So the AFL, so it's all come from Andrew Wilkie, the MP, independent MP in federal parliament.
Can I just say, how joyous must parliamentary privilege be?
Oh, dude, it would be so fucking good.
You go, you know what? I got some things to say.
Oh, dude, it would be amazing. And what I'm amazed by, how little they actually use it. Like, I would be teeing off on people I didn't like.
You know what? I would be reading out every WhatsApp message I got. You know those ones where it's like, mate, Clayton Oliver, here's a bit of a... and you go, hey, parliamentary privilege. I can read it. Read this.
Gather around, guys.
Yeah, yeah. And they go, how has this got anything to do with the politics? You're like, doesn't matter. But my mate, whose cousin was out with him...
And it's like the speaker would be like, member for Wentworth. What, you want me to stop talking? No. Tell us more. Read the next message.
Yeah, who else was there?
Oh, I would be fucking using that every 5 seconds. I can't believe they don't use it more. So under parliamentary privilege, which means you can't get sued, essentially. But it can be reported on. And I actually heard a journo say that there are rules for reporting. It has to be accurate reporting. So you can't distort any of the reporting. But so you can say whatever you want. He got leaked info from, well, I don't know actually who it was particularly from, but the story being, well, we all know this fucking story. The Melbourne Club doctor talked about doing tests if players came up to him on a Tuesday, Wednesday and said, hey, I had a big weekend. There might be in my system on the Saturday. Can we do a little cheeky drug test, and if I come
offside cheeky drug test.
Well, they do. I think they did test on site, and then they ship it off to another place.
Oh, is that right? Okay,
send it to like the Audi drug tester, right?
Yep.
And then if it comes back, then they can go, mate. Have a very tight hamstring right now, and it would be against your interest to play in the game on Saturday.
So basically they're saying that, so the coaches wouldn't know, but they would say fake an injury, right? So the player goes out there, and the day that this is reported, this is fantastic, Clayton Oliver leaves the training track with an injury. And you're like, just on that day, just say, hey, Clary, just stay out there, mate.
There's all these
stories pinging around. Just please, I shouldn't say pinging, just... Well, just stay out there, mate. It's just a bad look.
And also, just run laps. Like, you don't have to use your hand. You don't have to use your hand. Like, don't do anything with your hand. Just run laps. you know, just stretch for a little bit. We'll just we'll wind down the clock, okay?
Yeah, just be out there.
And now everybody's looking back in history of time, kind of going, is this player right? Is this player right? A lot of the clubs talked about they didn't know about it. They didn't know about this system.
Well, no, they're like, it's news to me.
Only
so
the club doctor did. And then the AFL came out and they said, oh, no, we fucking known about this for a long time, mate.
Oh, yeah. We sanctioned it. We loved it.
Oh, dude, it's a delicious story. It's quite remarkable.
But you know what I find fascinating? So if you say, okay, fake a hamstring injury, so there's almost immediately that you are out for, what, 2 or 3 weeks? Because a hamstring is not a one-weeker.
No,
right?
And then on top of that, I imagine if they go, oh, you got a bit of a hammy, well, let's just do a bit of an ultrasound on it and see if you got a tear or, you know, what degree you got there. And then also you got to feign the hammy for a week. You got to walk around limping or something. Or you got to, you know, if you go, oh, I've got a bad toe, and then you're at the line for food for lunch on a Thursday, and a player steps on that foot, you got to be like, ouch, that really hurts. Oh, not the toe that's injured.
Yeah. So I suppose you can have hamstring awareness, so that could cover you for
that. It would be that, yeah, yeah. So we don't really know how many times this has happened. There were numbers banding around 100 players this has happened to, and then the reduced numbers under that. But then also, actually, I had to look into it for work, and it actually is particularly complex. Like, I actually, you know, it's on the surface level, you know, it's great for a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
But when you delve into it, you kind of go, I generally kind of don't know what's right, what's wrong. But I do remember a live show years ago when we had Dane Swan on?
Yeah.
And I remember you said to him as a question, and he was very open and honest, he's an open book, and you said to him, have you ever had a strike? And he said, no, actually, I never got a strike. Hello. What are we looking at?
So people have come out, because obviously Joel Smith, like, how did he slip through the cracks that he actually tested positive on game day? That's the bit that I don't get. Like, he's had a Wednesday night where he's just gone, fucking hell. I'm bored, man. I've finished hard quiz. I'm about to sit down for the weekly. You know what's going to get me going? Is a little bit of fucking cocaine.
I wonder. I mean, also the big thing is to be caught on game day. So like, say, Ginnivan. Last year, like, he only got the 2 week by the fact that that wasn't part of the competition. It was preseason, wasn't it? So there's a big difference between game day and then on top of that, how performance enhancing they are. So I'm going to say cocaine would be on the performance enhancing list, but there would be other drugs, I reckon, that you could test positive for, which I reckon are illicit drugs, but not on the performance enhancing list.
So like the ganja man.
Well, I'm not totally sure. I'm not totally sure where that would be on the list. I feel like maybe it just has to be, just by the fact it's probably maybe untested or kind of, you know, maybe not quite sure where it stands. So when in doubt, put it on the list, if you think like that.
So Joel Smith's dad, Sean Smith, came out, and, you know, clearly there seems to be some sort of issue with the Melbourne Football Club. It's a little bit of what we're taking out of all this. And Sean Smith has come out and said, if I'd known there was a massive drug problem at the AFL when my son was 14, I would have said, you're playing baseball. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to break it to him, but there's been quite a few baseballs across the journey.
There was a baseball player, I believe, who pitched a perfect game while high on LSD.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like, there are stories right from the 70s and 80s. Like, there was a guy, was it Daryl Strawberry? There was a player who was watching the parade for his team winning the World Series in like a crack house. And he's like, I probably should be there.
Hey, how do you celebrate a World Series, mate?
But he was so out of it. Like, yeah. So, you know, and also, you know, I play baseball. Okay, cool. You know, we say the footy of young people with the money, you know, playing football, glamour.
Yeah,
let's give them a $25 million contract and then just chuck them in the middle of Miami. Yeah, let's do that.
I'll tell you who loved it when this story broke was those two Sydney AFLW players, because they got taken straight off the back page and went, thank fuck for this testing scheme.
And I imagine it's rife. Well, not rife. I'm not going to say that rife. But I imagine it's rife amongst all clubs in terms of, like, all clubs are doing. I mean, there are even reports that interstate players have been coming to Victoria to go to this testing location.
Is that right?
Yeah. Something I saw somewhere. But there's so much info to catch up with. Yeah. But I actually don't really know where we go from here. Like, I do understand the clubs kind of going, hey, if this stuff's happening, like, can you give us a heads up? Because we actually do genuinely want to help these people as well.
Well, I guess the thing that they say, like, they're always like, you know, we're trying to, you know, you're trying to look out for their mental health, and I get that. But I don't reckon these guys are doing it because they're out on a Saturday night and they're like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit down. There's only one way to feel up. They're just out and they're having fun. Yep. Like, so I say we just, it's a free for all.
Well, I mean, that is one option, obviously, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's, you know, we just open the doorway, and it's like, it's like a bit like the enhanced games coming up maybe later this year or next year.
I love it. Yep, I'm a big fan.
Got another junk time idea coming to you, AFL. We just let the players go loose on anything they want. They can toot anything up their nose. They can inject anything, and then we just see how it plays out.
Okay, so you have your regular season, premiership, last day in September.
Yep.
Then the last day in October
yep.
is when you play for the fucking... the proper premiership. So you get all the players. This is where we, you know, they always want to take it internationally. Las Vegas. Hello. Yep. NRL's already been there.
Perfect.
We go back there. We get the players. They're fucking flying. You know, they're doing their mile high recovery. You know what I'm saying?
And no one's drinking out of that cup that night. Okay.
No, that's right. That's right. They're doing their altitude training. If you know what I mean, Michael.
Dude. So actually we're recording right now. We had a little bit of history, Adam. By the fact, this is only the second time I've seen this for a rain delay or a lightning delay, but Hawthorn and Geelong are currently half 17 minutes left to go in the last quarter in the Easter Monday clash. Hawthorn are 28 points down. It's pouring rain now, but I think the lightning actually didn't really eventuate. So they
I know
to
that's
the ground.
Disappointing bit. It's like I want to see lightning crack above the ground before they're like, all right, get them off. Because otherwise, you're just kind of delaying everyone getting home on Easter Monday. It's pissing with rain. People are like, if it could be, like, it was going to be a close game and then Geelong kicked away in that third quarter. But yeah. If that's tight and you're kind of going, do I stay? Do I go? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, sure. Because, I mean, I don't know what quite the rule is, but I imagine after, surely there's a time frame where they go after an hour or 90 minutes, they go, we call the game off and Geelong wins. Don't have to play half to win the game?
Yes, that's correct. I think they go to the halftime scores to lock it off. Yeah. So
a little bit of history right there. They went into the rooms for a bit. It's probably a bit of a longer delay than they thought it was going to be. And
but they should do put stuff on the, like, on the big screen. It had, you know, it's a weather delay, take precautions. But don't do that. Like, people, you've already put it up once. Everyone's gone to cover. They're staying out of the storm. Then put up, like play last year's grand final. You know, play the best, because you guys have got a great rivalry on Easter Monday. Play some of those highlights. Like,
yep, sure.
Give them something to do.
It's a Hawthorn home game, so you can play some Hawthorn highlights on the thing. Or
yeah.
Or you do like an extended version of like a bongo cam or oblivious cam that goes for like 45 minutes, 50 minutes.
Love it.
I mean, we got to give the crowd what they want, Adam. And I'm sure that everybody Easter Monday game today demanded a bongo cam or oblivious cam. I actually don't know how many they would have got today. If you read the weather, maybe not as many as they would normally get. And Hawthorn's not really up and about at the minute. But anyway.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah. Now, Howard, speaking of up and about, how is your comedy festival show going? You kicked off on the weekend.
No, it's cool, man. Thank you for a few junk timers came along. Thank you for coming along, all the folks that came along. Very kind of you. And also a couple of junk timers asked after you, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Tell my hamstrings were tight.
I said he's currently at a physio.
Yeah.
And
his physio operates out of a compound.
His physio had these tattoos, but he had to get them removed with an angle grinder one day. It was really weird. But actually, I met a guy who came to the show, and we got chatting afterwards. And it's not uncommon, actually, for people to have a bit of a chat afterwards and like tell some of their interesting football stories as well, or the things from, you know, whether they be from WA or Tassie, like some of the unique stories from there, because it's obviously the show's about the history of the game.
Yep.
And he was talking about his dad was one of the kind of founders of Central Districts.
Really?
In the Sandford, when that came in the 60s. So he said he kind of had, I think he said he signed the constitution. Maybe they had like kind of a, you know, official document that had to be signed by the higher ups at the team. And then he said that he played a few games, this bloke particularly, Graham, he played a few games at Port, and then he went to Woodville and he played under Blighty, and he didn't really get on with Blighty, so eventually left Woodville. But obviously could play if he's been playing in the Sandford.
And let me guess, his age was in, he was in his 60s or 70s?
Probably. I actually looked it up, and Blighty, I think, was coach at Woodville from about 83 to about 88.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he was playing coach for a little bit, and then...
you don't see many, like, 18-year-olds called Graham these days, do you?
Oh, that's actually a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Just like you don't really see old blokes called Cameron. It's just weird. They just don't exist.
Yeah. I had a friend, like, a bit ago, named their baby Ernie.
Well, that's
you don't really
unique.
Get that anymore, do you? Yeah.
No, there's not a lot of Erns getting around.
No, no. Even like, even as kind of older people who kind of moved away, you don't get many people kind of 60 or under called Ernie nowadays.
No, it's disappeared.
Anyway, so the Junk Time name competition. the show's going to be, it's Saturday and Sunday for the next 3 weeks of the Comedy Festival. Tickets can be found at trybooking.com. And no, it was very kind of all the people to come along. And mate, it's firing on all cylinders. Fitter than I've ever been doing the show.
That's good to hear, mate. Yeah. That is really good to hear.
No, it's good fun. It's good fun. Hey, tell you who's been having fun.
The Brisbane Lions players.
The Brisbane Lions, mate. They went to Vegas, bit of a off-season trip, and it turned a bit
Cardinal better. Mistake. Come on.
Now, that is a mistake I reckon I could make.
The story is, Junk Time, is that one of the players... his device back home was still connected to, the WhatsApp. Mm. Rookie mistake right there. Fucking disconnect everything you've ever owned ever. And it uploaded, or, the messages that he was getting from his teammates in Las Vegas were pinging heavily back home.
Yeah.
Including some photos that apparently did not go down well.
Now, they don't suggest there was anything untoward. The only thing untoward was the fact that, people were in relationships with other people. Therefore, nothing against the law, but just against the relationship
moral
status.
Compass.
Yeah. But I actually kind of wonder, because I reckon that could definitely happen to me. Like, because I don't really get my head around WhatsApp or iMessage or things happen.
No, so but the issue there is you need someone back home to read them.
Yeah.
And you.
Oh, fuck. You need someone to give a fuck about you at all. But, mate, the feeling when you find out that your partner has been reading all of
these
messages.
When they're like, you would say she probably texted him over there and went, what the fuck is going on with his? And the gears changing in your running through your head going, how did she get that photo? What is going on here? And then it dawns on you that you've undone a whole footy trip.
And then also we know how people react in a WhatsApp group, and they may write things that are a bit looser than they would normally say in polite company.
That is true.
And so, I mean, I can't imagine the number of WhatsApp groups that you're on and the like. But, so imagine a Brisbane Lions footy trip WhatsApp in Vegas, and the stuff you're saying and the stuff you're sending and the photos you're sending. And then just that flight home too, just knowing like what would it be like 15, 16 hours, just like either then absolutely they're never going to talk to you ever again, or there's someone at the airport that just want to give you one more confrontation before it's over.
Oh, I didn't expect to see you here, you fucking. Get into the AFL kitchen and bar because I am going to give you a spray over this midfielder's margarita.
And then on top of that, there was a bit of talk that maybe there was dissension in the group, that it had ruffled the feathers of the group because the Lions haven't had the greatest start going around.
No.
So then they had to come out and say that, oh, no, it's okay, we're all fine, everyone's talked it over. But then on top of that, there was one of the officials from the team was with them, went on the trip with them.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a chaperone?
I feel like there might have been two officials who were there. I don't feel even in a chaperone kind of role, but just maybe...
Hanging out with the boys.
I suppose so. I'm not sure. But I found that quite strange as well. Like, because also there's that kind of age gap of,
What are you hanging out with fucking blokes in their early 20s?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Like you kind of go like, how much do we really have in
common? I mean, I do it every year at the end of, at the start of December up on the Gold Coast, but that's different.
No, but that's purely for your hamstring awareness business,
True, that's true.
I mean, you're very concerned about the kids up at schoolies, how their hammies are feeling. Because, you've known for a good 30-odd years. How tough it can be, to have the hammies.
What I live in fear of? So, people reading the WhatsApps and stuff. And when you read like a court case and they're like, oh, they got his mobile phone and went through all their texts.
Dude.
And just that, just even though, I mean, because when you're talking with mates on your own phone, device to device, you say some stuff that's probably not for public consumption.
Yeah.
And what you don't want is for them to get that said phone and to go through every text message you've ever sent.
And then to read it in the tone in which it was not intended.
Yes.
So they're reading it straight. Like when, you know, like in, for their read, you kind of need the smiley face and the wink. But if you don't have the smiley face and the wink, they go,
mate,
oh, you're a horrible person. It's like, no.
There was a thumbs up at the end of it.
If I'd put an emoji, I'd be innocent, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Have you ever had? I think I've sent a couple of texts to people who were the wrong people, but I've never sent anything damning. Like I've never sent a. Have you ever had a?
No, I haven't done anything like that. But so I was Okay, so this might be slightly confusing to understand, but yeah. I was talking to my girlfriend on the phone and telling her a story about a mate, right? So say it was you, and I said, oh, well, Michael did blah, blah, blah. And then I get a text from, say, you saying, hey, this isn't from me. And what had happened was Siri heard me say Michael and sent that person like the next sentence and a half that I'd said as a text message.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and it just happened to be that I was telling them about a story. So it was just, to them, would have been nonsensical. They were like, so that was when I went, I am turning Siri off on every fucking device I have.
I imagine that could actually cause quite a problem if you just kind of randomly say a name and then all of a sudden you get essentially a feed of a transcription of your conversation.
Yeah, because usually when you are saying, like I just happen to be telling a funny story about something that someone did, but it could have been like, oh, I tell you what, fucking Michael is a pain in the blah, 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 and then you just rip into him.
It really feels like that's a bug that should have been worked out by the people at Apple before they actually put the product out.
Yeah, you would have thought so. Like Siri has created a lot of issues. I'm blaming Siri for the Brisbane Lions woes at this stage. That's why they're 0-3.
There was a friend of mine years ago, and he, I'll clean this up, even though you know no one will know this person, but they met a person, and they texted. They went to text their mate about that person.
Yeah,
and they sent it to the wrong person. Mm-hmm. It was the person they were meeting at that restaurant or cafe.
Yep.
And thankfully, that person had gone to the bathroom and their phone was on the table.
Oh.
And so they could quickly see it buzz, saw the their name come up, went, oh, shit, and luckily could get into the phone, delete the message before they came back from the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was before the fingerprint stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And then I like, oh, my God, thank God.
Yeah.
And it would have been like, it wouldn't have been like the worst thing in the world, but it was just like, it would have been awkward. Yeah.
Tell you what's really tough to deal with though, Michael, is just when you lose some of the greats to football.
Yep.
You know, you just go...
I feel you.
We like to honour our past champions. Yep. And Wayne Carey came out this week and he was strong on it. He said if Peter Wright got suspended for his hit on Harry Cunningham, he said that he would never, ever watch the great game of AFL again.
He was saying you're allowed to attack the ball and in that process you're allowed to defend yourself.
Defend yourself, yep.
And so, I think...
And when the duck goes hard. Like he said, I will never watch this again while Peter Wright is suspended.
That's
just putting that in brackets at the end.
It's a great quote. He says, I will not watch footy. If he get weeks, I'm not going to watch it as long as he's out of the game. Okay, that's not really a lifetime ban, duck. So is that, what, 4 weeks? Yeah. So, okay, I'd be curious. The AFL was particularly worried about that because they were actually going to have the duck actually do a lap of the ground today actually at Hawthorn Geelong. his final moment in football.
Yep.
Seeing he was going to give up for all time. I do love grand calls like that, but also I mean I watched the right thing and my amateur view is that he was perfectly fine just as long as he went properly for the ball. Like if he didn't have to defend himself like that.
No, I know. Yeah. If he didn't turn at that last second, you big fucking idiot.
It was just like, dude, it was actually within, like, reach of your fist. If you just got a fist or at least attempted to put a fist on it, you would have been completely fine. Also, you're 2 metres tall. Like, you're going to be okay against most players. And you're coming from behind. The guy's, was he running towards him or stationary?
Kind of running back towards him, Harry Cunningham was.
But it was completely fine. I don't know why he did it. Anyway.
I just don't know how, though. Sorry to circle back, but I just don't know how we're going to cope without the duck in footy.
Mm.
for 4 weeks. I mean, that is just, it's a devastating blow to the footballing economy.
No, you're right. We have, obviously, the social media took off during the week with the put out your anti-inflammatories. And
yep.
It was emotional. It was emotional, wasn't it? Everyone putting a little bag out in the... Hey, footballers in real life, Adam?
Yeah, I've got another one. Once again, I saw Will Setterfield, this time in Fitzroy.
Okay.
And he was on Brunswick Street. Looked like he was about to go back to his car is when I saw Will. He was looking at a parking meter.
And what kind of time of day are we looking at? Or?
So I went for a walk. I reckon it was Friday morning. Maybe it was Friday or Saturday morning. I can't remember. So he would have been getting ready to play later that day.
Huh.
And he was in shorts, a hat and a T-shirt.
Don't forget, guys, my comedy festival show coming up the next three Saturdays and Sundays at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Tickets to try booking Another Football in Real Life from Tom. Firstly, I love the podcast.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm
appreciate
a huge fan,
it.
Or as recommended, as the best footy comedy podcast going around.
We appreciate that, Tom. You know what, Junk Timers? Feel free to tell your mates about us as well if you don't think that they've heard of us. Do people still listen to a podcast like going as well as they were, like, say, 10 years ago? You
That's
know,
a good question.
There was kind of a sweet spot. And I reckon that people working from home now has, because you're not commuting, you don't listen to potties as much. So we would love it if people who do listen to us, and we love you guys, to spread the word, the Junk Time word.
I would actually say that maybe there are as many downloads as normal, but they're maybe more spread out across everything by the fact there are way more.
Yeah.
A glut.
There is a glut.
Secondly, I have a former football executive in real life.
Love it.
Last Monday, I was at Melbourne Theatre Company's latest production. In brackets, I'm doing very well for myself, thanks.
Clearly.
I saw none other than Gillan McLachlan looking very snazzy with a group of similarly well-dressed people having a grand old time. The play Gil was there to see was 37, a play about a local football team season in the year of Adam Goodes' War Cry Dance, 2015. Actually, that play would be going on just over the road from where I'm currently working.
Yes.
The play explores racism on and off the field on the local and national level and includes a good discussion of the different reactions to Goodes. Not the easiest thing to watch, but it's done very well and I highly recommend for anyone who's interested.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Goods was certainly...
I've heard actually great things about it.
Gil was certainly clapping enthusiastically at the conclusion. Hope the Blues do it for you this year, Rosie.
Thank you, Tom. Love you, buddy. Hey, good man.
Everyone check out 37 at the Melbourne Theatre Company.
Yeah.
I think we're going to hit the road on that note. We are Junk Time Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook and the Gram. Go Hawks.
Go Baggers.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.